Yes, and welcome, welcome, welcome once again to the podcast episode show of the TJ McLoon Show. I am your host, as always, TJ McLoon. My dogs are right here, the producer and co-host Clooney and Maggie, who, if you follow my Twitter at TJ McLoon, you see them constantly pictured there in the header. Maggie, the white and black dog, is a producer of the show. She's the one in charge of booking and making sure that the audio sounds just fine. Clooney here, the black and, brown, more brown, maybe black. Black and brown, actually. His head is brown. The co-host, the one that provides a lot of the content whenever someone comes by the door or someone happens to make a noise while we're doing the recording. Let's throw his two cents in to make sure nothing is being bothered. Maybe he's more security than he is co-host, but that's him. And if you listen to a lot of the old episodes over at tjmacloon.com, which are archived somewhere, I don't know the domain anymore just because I didn't feel like paying the person and GarageBand and the iWeb didn't match up anymore, so that's long gone. But a lot of the old episodes before we moved into the new studios, he would always be putting his two cents in. So they're here with me right now. It's a great day here. Any positivity is a good thing to have for these episodes and for whenever you're listening, just because it's WrestleMania week. Well, not WrestleMania week. That's not until April, but the tickets are on sale. It's going to be in Dallas, which is only a short car right here. My best friends and I, who I grew up through childhood with and did independent federation wrestling. By independent, I mean we backyard wrestled at our friend's house and would make up the cards and make up the matches, how they go down. Day of the event, maybe school ride, or on the school bus ride homes, we would come up with the scripts with our buddy Ryan, our buddy Bob, and a lot of other friends as well. And UCW was a big thing way back when. There is an archive video as well from our friend Bob, which we did a big project for his school. It was a master's degree, and we helped him with getting his, I forget what the degree was for, but they do sports drama. We filmed a big wrestling match, and, you know, of course, me being who I am and me being the very boastful and one who takes control and one who you want to put over if you're managing a federation. I went over, left the corporation and left everything, the organization, that's what I was looking for, as their main champion, holding all the belts, just because it was smart business. It was best for business to put me over as the person that, you know, walks out and ends the federation as their top guy. But WrestleMania week, tickets were on sale today. We purchased it. It's amazing. I can't put into words. I guess I did just put into words what the feeling is to have those tickets and have the screen up from Ticketmaster saying, congratulations, TJ, you're going to WrestleMania. It's amazing. It was an amazing feat. I wish I could drop a lot of curses and swears and F-bombs of what I really felt, but, you know, we try to keep this thing as family-friendly as possible. So that's my main thing going on here. However, the reason why you're listening today, Andrew WK, he took enough time out of his day to come on and spend 31 minutes with me talking about music, talking about sports, talking about whatever we could conjure up in that 30 minutes. I had him on the phone for. He was great. He's super positive. He just was fun to talk to. You'll hear me gush over him like I did with Chris True the week before that about how much I look up to him, but admire his work and admire what he does, and just thankful that he took, these people that come on the show, they don't have to come on. There's not a big platform. There is a platform here, a lot bigger than what I did on my own, but it's not like being on Podcast One or having the Bill Simmons platform or just having a major corporation behind you. So Andrew taking time out of his busy touring to spend, just nonsense with us and hearing about me talk about my kid and my mom listening to Tupac and college days with his Jackass, when he was on the Jackass film. It was amazing. So Andrew WK is up right now. He's very positive. He likes to have a lot of fun. We had a good time recording this. Well, I had a good time. I think he had a good time too. So I hope you enjoy it. Make sure to stick around for the interview, which I'm sure you will. And I'll be back after the break. Andrew WK up right now. Oh,
on the show this week, you know, each week here we're on the 12th episode of the TJ Macklin Show. And I try to get bigger and better guests. Last week we had comedian Chris True on to talk about pro wrestling, his work with the show Airsex, and what he does with True Hoop, talking about New Orleans Pelicans basketball. The first guest was Matt Miller from Bleacher Report, who is the main guy for you know, everything that is the NFL draft. But this week is our biggest guest. Hell, the biggest guest that I think I've ever had, even when I did my own show over at tjmathlune.com, which ran for about 100 episodes. He is the king of partying. I'm speechless that he even took time out of his very busy day of touring and just gracing these United States of just greatness and good timeness, which is a word. I looked it up in the Scrabble dictionary of good timeness. Mr. Andrew WK. Andrew, thank you so much. And I know we spoke about this offline. You're currently on a tour bus. Where in the bleep are you in America?
Well, I'm passing, I guess, from the more northern region of the United States down towards Florida. And, of course, it's a beautiful time of the year to be, well, really anywhere. I mean, this is my favorite time of the year, to be honest. I like autumn, fall, this transition between summer and winter. This is, to me, this golden feeling of excitement and potential. And despite that we're going more south, that fall feeling is holding strong. So I'm really enjoying it.
You know, as the show is based out of Austin, Texas, you'll be here next week for Fun Fest. And normally here in Austin, it's about, I don't know, 80, 90 degrees. Heck, it was 90 degrees, I think, all of 2 weeks ago. But today, 72 and sunny. I think whenever you'll be here, probably 60 to 70 degrees. So with you, you're bringing the party, but you're also bringing the fall. I guess you can be thanked for that as well.
Well, that's very nice of you to say that I would have anything to do with that. I'm just happy about the timing. Either way, it's a wonderful town. Really, almost no matter when I've been there, I've had great parties, great times, and great weather. It actually is a quite dynamic weather town from what I've seen. I mean, I've been there actually even in sort of the summertime and had very unexpected cold spells. So I like places that leave you guessing, where, as they say, if you don't like the weather, just wait 5 minutes, it'll change.
That's very true, just like in Florida. So I want to talk about your life on the road, your music, and everything that encapsulates that. But what I want to talk to you first here and get this out of the way, because a number of my listeners are from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It's where I grew up at. The Penguins. There's a movement that Party Hard needs to be their goal song. Management and the front office have not chose that for whatever reason. I think they're stuck on Gary Glitter because of this whole entire team is stuck on 1991. But is there a hex or a curse, much like Little B from the Pack put on James Harden, that is currently on this Penguins team because they're not scoring any goals? So do you think there's a curse put on this team right now because they haven't flipped over to Party Hard?
Wow, I have a lot to say about this, but to answer your question, no, I do not think there's a hex or a curse. There's no way that anything that involves partying is the opposite of a curse. And even if they don't use, let's say, the Party Hard song, or even if someone in general is against partying, partying itself is so loving and so positive and so joyful that even if you don't want to party, it's still not going to work against you. It's actually still going to contribute that party power, which is a beautiful thing. That means even someone who doesn't party is actually still benefiting in a strange roundabout way from the power of positive partying. So even not partying in a way counts as partying. This is great, actually, because the Penguins, now in their choice for whatever reason not to, let's say, use the Party Hard song, are still actually getting the power from the Party Hard song. I don't want to say that they couldn't use a little bit more. Maybe they need a little bit more of that. But I would never, ever say that, you know, I cannot put a curse on them. The song can't put a curse on them, and partying itself can't put a curse on anybody, Penguin or not.
Well, that's good. Maybe it's they're stressing too much. You know, with the additions to Kessel, last year with Perron and Hornquist, maybe the team, they're stressing too much. Maybe the positivity of partying and hearing the song, which I first came to know from the Madden franchise, maybe that will break them out of this funk. Your thoughts on changing it up and thus the team going on a run?
You know, sports are in general are very dynamic. That's part of the excitement. There's so many variables that you think you can control, but you could have, you know, this incredible roster, you could have an incredible legacy, and you could have still sort of fluke games, fluke seasons, fluke moments within games, things that you wish you could explain, that you wish you could chalk up to very specific factors or circumstances, but sometimes you just can't explain it. And I would never, considering I'm not an expert on sports, and certainly not an expert on hockey, I would never be so bold as to be able to comment on that directly. But what I can say is that even those low moments in sports, and this is what's so great about being a fan who stayed loyal through and through, even those low moments have their value. They add dynamics, they add contrast, they add to that roller coaster experience that we want out of sports. It's the teams that always are doing well that, in a way, aren't as exciting.
Well, you know, you're on the road so much traveling. Is there a team or a sport that you like to follow? And, you know, no matter where you are, you'll make a point to see what they're doing and, you know, how they're doing in their season.
No, not particularly. And that's not out of any sort of animosity towards sports or ambivalence. It's just something that never, my brother, the younger brother, he sort of owned sports in our family. He played the most sports. He kind of carved out that realm and made it his own. And he was a big basketball fan. He still is. Huge basketball fan. Golf fan. Football to a degree. Hockey to a degree. I mean, we grew up in Michigan, so there was a lot of Red Wings excitement at all times. A lot of Pistons basketball excitement. But it's, I love the atmosphere of sports, which is why, for example, the idea of one of my songs being played at a sporting event, that is probably, for me, the pinnacle use of this music. When I envisioned, you know, as a much younger man, when I was first making these songs, when I envisioned how I'd want it to be received, that was the way, in that environment, that electric crowd environment where it's almost better than a concert in a way because there's more at stake. I mean, at a concert, there's already this feeling that everyone's winning. But when there's a game going on, there's this drama that the music really adds to, like, a soundtrack, like a movie. So the idea of these songs being used either as a goal song or just in between moments, you know, there's all kinds of music being played at a live sporting event. That was always a huge thrill for me.
Well, you know, as I just said recently, I remember I caught wind of your music, you know, it was in college, 2002, 2003, 2004, from the Jackass movie when, I think it was Jackass 1 or 2, you had a song on the soundtrack, but also the Madden franchise. You know, how did that even come about, and what kind of audience did that expand your name out to by just being on that video game?
I don't really know how those things come about. I mean, again, I was excited to have my song anywhere, in video game or TV commercial or sporting event. Anything to me was good. This music is really made, again, for that. It's not meant to really be kept private. It's not meant to be protected or shielded. I have a lot of respect for musicians or acts that choose to not let their music be used that often or for those types of projects. That's a personal choice that each person makes. But I always felt like the music was kind of empowered by those moments. And just like you're saying, so many people have told me that's how they first heard one of my songs was in the Van Madden game. I mean, that's, how could I be upset about that? I mean, it was a tremendous experience. I love John Madden and the legendary voice that he has and the unique sort of character that he brings to sports, just to be around that, to be associated with that, to see what people sometimes think is they think that their song is lending all this power to something that otherwise doesn't have it, like a TV commercial. Mm-hmm. Their song is being used by the commercial. I feel like I'm using the commercial. Right. I'm using the video game. I'm absorbing its power. And I don't need to protect my song. My songs are much stronger than I am. They're protecting me, really. I mean, I can't. This song has energy and sort of a superhuman strength that I don't possess. That's why I made it. That's why I get excited about music, is it is bigger than me. It's bigger than any person. I don't need to cradle it. It's not fragile. So this kind of music really benefited from that, and I don't really know how it happened, but I'm just glad it did.
Well, you know, I can remember the beginning part, and then it just takes me right back to that fraternity house I lived in. Same with hearing "We All Want to Have Fun" and "We Want to Get Wasted." I cannot tell you how many times I had that song played in our house, just because we all were drunken idiots who were, 22, 23, and happened to just watch a Jackass movie, and then clippers got brought out, and then people's heads got in shape. And just because that's what you do when you're a white male and you're in your early 20s and you're an idiot, basically. So is there any time, you know, what's the spot that you're performing? Because you do festivals, your own shows. Is there a time to where you're standing on stage looking out and you're like, holy hell, how the hell did I get in this spot?
Oh, really? The entire experience feels like that, the entire day-to-day life. It's not like that for a very long time. I guess almost going back to, around 20 years old or so. So
wow.
That was 16 years ago. And for a while I kept thinking, oh, it's going to feel normal again. Life is going to go back to normal, or at least feel like life used to feel, maybe in another month or another year. And then more time would go by and life still felt really intense and dreamlike and amazing and really, really hardcore. And then I guess maybe pretty recently I realized maybe this is normal life now. Maybe we'll never go back to how it felt before. And I don't know if I would want it to go back to how it felt before. So yeah, I've been very, 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 very fortunate, very privileged in pretty much every way. All I try to do is take that good fortune and use it in a way that hopefully provides good feelings for other folks, too.
And, you know, some musicians, they like playing the small clubs, maybe 40 to 50 people, whereas some people, they like playing the large arenas, 20, 30,000 seat. Do you have a preference for which one you would like to play for one or the other, or it just doesn't matter?
I mean, I definitely like both. I didn't want to say I just like both, because that seems like such an easy answer. I think for this music is kind of fast and intense. And when you get into very, very, very large spaces, there is the possibility where it all turns into a big blur, because it takes so long for sound to travel through space if you're in an arena and reach the person who's all the way on the other end, whereas if you're in a room with 20 people, there is no time for it to travel. It's all happening to everybody at the same time it's happening to you. So there is, I think I could say that it's better in a way, or it's more intense in a way, to play like that. And I think everyone would agree. I don't think anyone would ever choose to see someone in a 50,000-person stadium versus a 50-person room. I mean, any act that I could ever imagine, who wouldn't want to be so close you can see the pupils in the eyes of everybody?
Right.
But there is a grandeur and, again, a collective excitement that just comes from the atmosphere of a stadium or an arena. Again, going back to sports, there's an excitement of seeing a player do their thing right up. If you're sitting on the court, let's say at a basketball game, if you have courtside seats, yeah, there's obviously something extremely exciting about that. It's like that's the seat everybody wants. But at the same time, to be way up in the nosebleed seats where you can see the entire arena and get that bird's eye view, there's something very special about that. I think what it is, all these things have their qualities, and being able to appreciate them and play to those strengths that each one possesses, that's what it's all about, really.
So, you know, you come here for Austin for the Fun, Fun, Fun Festival. You've played many other festivals as it is. I'm 33 years old, you know, married, 7-month-old kid. I get tired after... Oh, thank you. You know, I'll get into the 7-month-old here in a little bit because I got a good story from today, which I've tweeted out about with us doing our pregame prep by listening to your catalog on Spotify as we went and got some lunch today. But what she really enjoyed, She Is Beautiful. It was the one song that she was a little fussy. I put it on for her, and she calmed right down from there. And got to the point towards the end of the car ride, she passed out, I think at high five, is when she eventually fell asleep. So put that on your resume. It can be used as lullaby music, the Angie WK catalog.
I think that might be the first time I've ever heard it as having a soothing lullaby type effect. So maybe it's almost like Ritalin. It's so amped up. And it forces some people, it causes a calmness.
Well, it's very true. I mean, I look back at her as we were driving through the drive-thru at P. Terry's, and she's just kind of just kicking around, enjoying it. And then by the time we're probably 10 to 15 minutes out, I think she was out. I know she was out because I've got her back in here through her car seat, and she slept for another 20 minutes. So not only did we enjoy your music, but I also got to eat lunch in peace and quiet as she slept for the remaining 20 minutes. So I would say thank you for that.
Oh, well, you're welcome. Whatever it was, whether it bored her to sleep or it overstimulated her, no matter what, it sounded like it had some kind of comforting effect. And that's, well, maybe her body, her mind, her soul rejected the music, and the only thing that she could do was sort of shut down and go into a deep slumber.
Well, I mean, it could have been the I'm a Vagabond. I think that song might have set her down. It's more of a calmer, a smoother song. So I think that made the come down from it.
Well, thank you for listening to any of these things and exposing that very young person to these sounds.
Yeah, I mean, whenever she was in, in Sarah, my wife, whenever we were in the process of having her, you know, we would play the baby lullaby music because you want to play music in, you know, so it gets on there. I, however, wanted some Kanye West on her because I wanted to have a little ego, a little swagger about her. You know, I'm not sure that if she had anything processed through, but I thought, hey, why not? Have a little confidence about you from there. But festivals.
You know, again, variety. It's all about variety.
Exactly. I'll ask the hacky, your influences, but I remember growing up myself, I'm sitting at home, probably 14, 15 years old, and next thing you know, on my CD player, Tupac comes on because my mom wants to listen to it. So what are some of the things that, I know, at first it was Hit 'Em Up, but then she's like, no, California Love, let's listen to that. So my parents also helped, getting Kid Rock on in the early 2000s. But you, growing up, that got you to where you are today, what, influenced Andrew WK to become the multifaceted artist that he is now?
I mean, for me, for better or worse, I don't think it's particularly unique or special or anything. I sort of have two sides, and still sort of do two sides to almost everything that I encounter in terms of I have what I feel like I'm meant to do, and then separately I have things that are like my taste or preferences at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then by that I mean... maybe to compare it to sports, which I think I've thought about it this way myself several times. You could be an excellent, we'll say, hockey player. And
right.
You could have learned to ice skate at age 3 and been brought up with hockey as such a deep, fundamental part of your life that you can't really even remember life without it.
Right.
And when you were playing it in those early years and skating and engaged in hockey, you maybe didn't even think about, oh, this will be my career. It just was a thing you did, like reading a book, learning how to ride a bike. It was just part of life. And aside from that, you had all kinds of other interests. In fact, you might have had all kinds of interests that had nothing to do with playing hockey, yet hockey remained this big part of your life. You might have also liked basketball. You might have chosen, mm-hmm. in fact, in high school to play on the basketball team, yet there was still this constant hockey presence. And that's kind of my situation. I started with these piano lessons before I really ever heard any other music, before I even knew that there was such a thing as rock music.
Right.
Or guitar, for example, I was taking piano lessons. It was just there, from the very beginning. And I never thought I would become a professional musician. I had no interest really in that. As far as my musical tastes went, they were all over the place, but they never really, you know, a lot of what I like as an individual, I don't incorporate into the music I make. Just like if I was a hockey player, I don't, and I really liked basketball, I mean, maybe there's ways that you would sort of be influenced by the game of basketball as a hockey player, certain moves, but they sort of are discrete. They're sort of their own things. And learning or being able to accept that I am meant to play hockey and then have my life aside from that involves whatever else it does, and stay very true to the hockey player that I was born to be, that's sort of how I feel. I'm meant to be Andrew WK, and I don't need to infiltrate or even pollute the purity of what that is supposed to be with things as inconsequential as my own interests or tastes or influences. I try to keep them very separate. Mm-hmm. I have something here that I feel I'm supposed to do whether I like it or not, almost. And whatever I'm feeling into, whatever fashion I'm into at that moment, style, this, that, the other, movies, books, music, those don't usually get mixed into my work, you know? Never really have.
Interesting. It's very, very, I mean, I could probably spend the next 20 minutes to an hour asking your interest in movies and books and seeing what, you know, you guys do on tour to kill time in between, but our limited time base, I do want to ask you this one thing here. There's a little place in Austin, whenever you're here, in the upcoming week that I think you should visit. I'm not sure you've ever heard of it, but it's called Broken Spoke. It's a little honky-tonk bar that it's just all two-step and line dancing, and it's a phenomenal time of just it's wonderful. You'll meet the owner. He's this old 80-year-old guy that my wife and I have met before. We got photos with him. Great guy. I think if you get a chance to go to Broken Spoke while you're in Austin next week.
That's an excellent tip. And to be honest, I've been to Austin quite a bit and been to many venues, but I've never heard of this place. I'm a very, very big fan of line dancing, specifically two-stepping. And one of the members, a gentleman in my band, he is a master at two-stepping and sort of has devoted his life, spent a lot of time growing up in honky-tonks. In Austin himself, that's where he lives, in the surrounding sort of smaller towns in nearby Texas, kind of between Houston area as well. And I'm gonna ask him. He probably knows about this place, and I wouldn't be surprised if he frequents it himself. So thank you very much for that tip. Broken Spoke.
Yeah, it's I mean, it's a little. It's not a hole in the wall bar by any means necessary. It's a very nice place, but the owner, he built the thing after he got back from, I believe, World War II or Korea. It was one of those wars back in the, you know, back then, but he built it himself with his own two hands. So the same boards that are, you know, in the place where you sit down and enjoy a drink, the same stage, everything is just, you know, from whenever it's first built. So if you get a chance, I suggest going there.
Okay, well, thank you for that tip. I do appreciate it.
Yeah, no, I mean, well, this segues in here to next question in that I was talking to one of my friends after a WWE event last week. He told a story about how when you're on tour, you asked, hey, is there a place to stay? And you stayed at a fan's house and you critiqued him on his record collection. You know, is that a thing you normally do when you're on tour instead of save some money on hotels? Or is this just a one-time thing where a fan said, hey, I got an extra room. You want to crash here?
I guess it all depends on the tour. I mean, I've been touring in a real sort of full-on capacity. There was times when I didn't really not be touring. I mean, sort of how I am right now as well, just don't even live anywhere in particular, just continue to travel. There's nowhere to go home to. You just stay traveling. So it's been very kind in the past when folks have offered their kindnesses and their generosities and their comforts, home-cooked meals, obviously sharing their records or books. As far as critiquing, I mean, I would hope I would never have insulted anyone's record collection, but I'm sure I enjoyed him sharing it and showcasing it. All those moments and times have been very special and very much appreciated, those those thoughtful and sometimes small gestures that really add up to something very big in those moments.
Well, your show, it's a party, first and foremost, but your concert attire, white shirt, white jeans, is that ever going to change? Or, you know, I guess that's the question. Is that ever going to change to something different?
No, I don't think so, but I have. Well, you never know. I mean, I've worn sweaters before.
Oh.
On stage, I wore a button-down shirt once. Well, actually a few times. Blue jeans I've worn a few times. There's been a few times where the shirt had, you know, wasn't just plain white. There might have been a little picture over the pocket area or something. So it definitely, there have been moments, but that was kind of as I was still figuring out what I was supposed to wear. And once I really could see that that was what I was supposed to wear, I just said, okay, now that's my real clothes.
I mean, it's got to save on your clothing bill, right?
Oh, I'm sorry, what?
I say it's got to save on your clothing bill. I mean, because some acts, they tour, and it's costume changes after costume changes. For you, it's just white shirt, white jeans.
Well, definitely, that definitely makes it easier. But I must say, of course, I have a huge admiration for people who do put so much effort into costume changes, into, well, for example, even just dry cleaning their clothes. I mean, I don't even wash those clothes, for better or worse.
Wow.
I apologize to anyone who's been nearby me for all the bacteria, the viral dead skin cells, the smell. It can be very overwhelming. It can be very overwhelming for me. Sometimes it's hard to breathe. All the ammonia and uric acid builds up, and it actually will burn your eyes. I mean, just the fumes sort of escaping as the heat and the sweat regenerates and reinvigorates all that mess, all that filth that has been ingrained deep into the threads. I mean, the thread count in jeans, that's a lot of fabric. And when it's been enriched with calcium, with salt, with just dirt, really, just it's despicable. But yet I've done it, and will continue to do it. It's just what I'm supposed to wear.
It's like I play hockey now, adult league, because we're a bunch of 30-year-olds and 40-year-olds that just want to not die of cardiac arrest, and they don't want to go to a gym and run on a treadmill, so we play hockey. I don't think I've washed my gear in about 3 years or so, and it's that smell, because I'm sure anytime you get on your tour bus, it's that smell that, you know, it feels like home, and it's something that you kind of don't want to get rid of.
Well, you know, really thought of that, but you're absolutely right. It's almost putting on those clothes, more than the way they look, it's more than the way they feel, it's that complete sensory experience, and that smell, it's part of getting focused almost.
Mm-hmm.
It really snaps you into that headspace when you get that whiff. It takes you into really the zone.
Right. So, all right, we're coming up here in a half hour, and once again, I cannot thank you enough for taking time out of your busy day to spend just talking here about hockey and sports and partying and what have you. But I'm going to get you on this question here. You've been doing this for, like you said, 16 years. Name the craziest experience that you've had, either partying on stage or off, or just you've had at a show.
The whole thing. The whole thing, being alive, is the craziest experience I ever have.
So just the whole 16 year in just one capsule and going strong too.
36 years.
Oh, wow.
I've been alive for 36 whole years, and I cannot separate it into different experiences. I'm not proud of that. I wish I had more highlight moments, but the whole thing, as opposed to being dead from what I remember, or as opposed to not existing, this is the best experience of all. I mean, it's way better from my point of view than not existing. And that in itself has been a continuous highlight.
Well, I don't know how you do it. Like, I was going to ask you about the festivals. You know, I'm 33, as I said. I get tired after about an hour or two of just having fun. So you at 36, I don't know how you do it. You know, what's the secret to having that continued energy and success?
Well, it's the subject matter, I guess. I think if I was sort of promoting and focusing on something like resting or sleep, if that was my calling or my main theme instead of partying, I think then it would be a lot harder to maintain energy. If I was out there every day singing the praises of laying down versus headbanging, then I probably would feel very drowsy all the time.
I can see that.
But the fact is, I'm focused on a theme that is about high energy. The music is designed to conjure up that kind of high energy physical power. And all the ideas that surround that, the whole mindset, the worldview is based on harnessing that kind of power. So it just comes because that's the focus. I mean, again, if you're focused on what's the best way to not move your body, then you'll probably have a hard time moving your body or a very easy time not moving your body. But if you're focused on thrashing about at a high rate of intensity, a very high level, then it just comes. It just happens. It just surges out. And that, again, I'm going to compare it to sports because with sports, let's say, again, something like hockey, which can be, you know, pretty much they're moving the whole time. There's not a lot of rest. I mean, I guess, of course, you go to the box at times and there's breaks and all that, but it is a high-intensity sport compared to all kinds of other sports. There's different levels. Or even tennis, for example.
Yeah.
The focus on tennis isn't, okay, I'm going to run around as much as I can. The focus is on that ball. The focus on hockey isn't like, okay, this sport is about me skating around this rink as much as I possibly can. No, the focus is on the puck. And so your focus, the puck brings out the energy from you. You know, the point of the game, the mission, is what brings out that energy, what you're dedicated to. So that's what I do. I'm just focused on trying to party as hard as I can, and that pulls the energy out of me in order to do it.
That's very, very wise words to live by. And I'll say for myself, my energy is taken out by a 7-month-old, soon to be 8, and soon to be a mobile little creature that's going to feel like a constant drunk person around me, just walking into things and taking. I mean, we were eating chili the other night, and she just randomly picked the food off my spoon and threw it on the couch, which makes sense because that's what.
A chili bowl?
A chili, yeah.
Chili,
yeah. We had it.
Like beans and peppers and things?
No, it was just the ground beef and the bean and the canned tomato that was on my spoon at the time. Hand went right down there, spiked it on like she was Gronkowski and just scored a touchdown onto the couch and looked up at me and smiled, which I can't fault her for that because it was extreme. It's like Ron Burgundy. I wasn't mad. I was more impressed from what...
Well said. And that's a great attitude to have if you can maintain that in many situations.
Yeah, exactly. So... Next week, fun fest. You're holding a panel on partying. Real quick, we'll get you out on the promotion. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was saying it was just a speech.
Oh, a speech. Well, speech, panel. You're going to be there. It's if you are listening and you got a piece of this, I would suggest going to it because it's going to be a big motivator. So a little bit here, and we'll end on the plug for what you're doing at Fun Fest.
Ended on what?
Oh, what you're doing for Fun Fest.
Oh, just a speech.
Yeah, all about partying, so.
That's exactly right, yeah.
So, Andrew, thank you very much for coming on. The tour dates are, I'm sure, on your website. Follow you on Twitter. Anything else for a plug or promotion?
I just really want to thank you for having me on. You're like, over-the-top, flattering kindness and introduction, but for just that very thoughtful questions and topics of conversation. It was stimulating. It was thought-provoking. It was puzzling even at times, which is a great thing as well. And it really just means a lot to me. Thank you for being part of this party for all these years. And it's not taken lightly. I truly appreciate it. Thank you.
And thank you for a lot of good memories from college as well. As I said, through Madden or through hanging out with my friends, you know, a lot of your music was playing in the background during those times in the early 2000s. So thank you for that.
Well, my pleasure, and thanks for putting it to good use.
All right, there's this week's episode of Andrew WK. As I said in the intro, thank you very much for him and his management team. Charlie is who I dealt with a lot with trying to book this episode, making this happen. He was great to deal with. Andrew, good to talk to you. I hope he does visit the Broken Saloon. I think that's what it's called. Man, I can't remember now. Broken Spoke. That's what it was. I hope he does visit that when he comes to Austin here for Fun Fest. Also, if you are Fun Fest and you're taking a listen to this episode, Inspire Pro Wrestling, they're going to be there at 1 p.m., I believe is whenever they said, but check out inspireprowrestling.com or on Twitter at Inspire Pro. On Twitter, Play Speed Nation, Andrew WK, and of course, TJ Macklin is where you should all be following. I guess you could say it's the hashtag FF. It's not Friday. Maybe you're listening to it on Friday and follow Friday. Anyway, that's enough gas bagging for me. It's around the 40-minute mark. You need to be going on and doing something positive, just like Andrew said. So, for the TJ Macklin Show, I am TJ Macklin. Thank you for listening. We'll catch you next time.